Sup.
Sup. Hello.
That's all I heard when you were drinking.
Hello and welcome. This is the Nicholas Detali Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Detali. Roll the intro music. We got a lot of important things to say.
Am I going to hear this metronome noise the whole time I wear these?
Oh, my bad. Is that going?
Gone
now.
You can leave it. I'll just talk on rhythm.
Nice. Right on point. All those freestyling days are paying off.
Man, I'm nervous.
Yeah, don't be, bro.
You got to loosen me up.
Yeah, I've been trying to loosen you up for years. What do you think I'm doing right now?
Fair enough.
Let me slurp another one. Give me... Liquid confidence. Water. That's what they say. Anyway, all right. we got merch to talk about, baby. If you're watching on the tube, you're seeing two sexy dudes and two sexy sweatshirts.
All these different colors.
We got green and gray. Boom.
Get your merch.
You could move furniture in this.
Yeah, we did that earlier.
Boom. You could
watch basketball.
We did that.
You can bake. We made some fudge.
Yeah, we got fudged up.
And now we're just chatting on Christmas Day.
That's right. Very Merry Christmas. You can find the merch at nicholasdetali.com/shop. It's a whole shop. It's a storefront, but online.
Wow. that's amazing.
All right, let's get into it. We got Kyle Five right here.
What's up, everyone? It's Kyle.
Kyle Five Rod, baby. And Kyle has been interviewed by me. This is the third time you've been on. You were on the college interviews. That was a mini show.
Yep, I remember that. I forgot about that one.
You smoked me. I mean, you had a really lucky day on 2K against me.
Yeah, I kicked your butt at 2K for like.
It was a lucky time. You know what? I'm going to say something
about that. What happened when you visited in Texas?
So, Kyle and I have been playing 2K9 for years, right? No problem. I feel like I was smoking him. Next thing I know, we switch over to 2K14, and it's a whole different ballgame. Can't play defense for crap. I'm getting blown out by 30. Or you've been practicing.
is that what we played on the video? It was 2K14?
I don't know. Huh. It was probably 2K.
Yeah, a lot of excuses. I don't think I got 2K14 until post-college. So right, nice try, though.
Right. Yeah, when I visited you, fine. You got a couple lucky Ws, but you know what?
Like 5 days straight.
Consistency doesn't mean everything, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I had the better team every game, even when we switched the same teams.
It's different when you play with them, though. Yeah. You can agree on that.
Yeah, it is. I'm better with them, you're right.
I guess, man. I feel like you took a boot camp online. Like, I bet you went on Udemy and you said...
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, it's online courses. Maybe lynda.com, I don't know, and you found a 2K course.
Found a 2K coach, and I just train every day. That's why I moved to Texas, pursue my 2K career.
You're running a secret dark web 2K business.
Exactly.
Hey, I respect the hustle. There's something to say about somebody that grinds. And boy, do you grind.
Thank you. Wake up, grind every day.
You're welcome. You know, I heard there's a great app for people that grind.
What's that?
Grindr.
Nice. Find business partners on there or what?
Depends the type of your business, dude. You're down for that kind of business.
Pulling chocks.
Alright, back out of that one. Then you're on Tailgate Talks.
I was.
You weren't. I enjoyed that one. That was good.
That was good. That was solid.
And and now you're on the third show, I guess. I don't know what's what to say about that. Now I'm kind of realizing that there's been so many shows.
We're just waiting for one to stick. Like, that's just really, right. I mean, this is the one.
This is the one. But you know what it is? I mean, consistent in 2K, consistent of being a guest on the shows, bro.
This is a lot about our friendship.
I think it's just who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Just an overall consistent guy.
Thank you. I think.
You're welcome. You know, Kyle and I, let's give some context here. Kyle and I have been friends for quite a while.
We have been.
What is your first memory of us?
Let's see. think my first memory of us, we became friends. I'm not sure if we became friends previous to baseball or if it was once baseball started, but my first memories is, I think Nick, like, just hit me up and was like, hey, let me get your number, bro.
I hit you. I texted
you. You just, like, went up and talked to me and was like, hey, like, let me get your number. And I was like, all right. Competition. And then we just started doing video battles with each other.
Oh, yeah.
So one of us would, like, say a topic, like, I don't even know if I do a video of you dunking on someone.
Oh yeah.
And we just had to, like,
in the moment.
Dude, on our, like, flip phones or our Envys, whatever we had, like these old slide phones, we just had to record it and then send it to the other person. And then I don't know if we voted on who won or we just did the next one.
Nice. Yeah. I think once both videos were sent, we chose a new topic.
Pretty much. So that was a good time.
That was a good time.
So, dude, we invented Snapchat.
We literally invented Snapchat. You only had a certain amount of time because the phones would only let you record for so long. I remember I asked for a microchip to put in my MV2 so we could get 30 seconds instead of, what was it, 15 or 10?
I don't even know. Yeah.
And it was purely for video battles. It was...
purely. You gotta win those battles, bro.
My only intentions were to create better short clips for us to enjoy to text back and forth.
Man, if we could find those.
I would be quite
amazed. But yeah, those are probably my first memories, just doing that. I remember pretty vividly making our P90X shirts.
Oh,
I think that was like 9th grade, 8th grade. Yeah.
I feel like I have to bring this up.
What's up?
I sold you a pair of bindings.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the start of the friendship, too.
That was a... Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they not make it? Like, didn't
no, they worked for a while. Okay. It was a combination of my board just being old and the bindings being old. But, yeah, I was snowboarding one time. I'd used them for probably close to a year already.
Oh, okay. Because my memory is thinking, like, I sold them to you and they broke the next day.
No. I used them for a while. But I was riding down the mountain and one of them just popped out of my board and I had to slide down the mountain. I was at the top of like the mountain. I had to slide down, laying on my stomach on the board, and then I got yelled at by everyone. But
whatever. Why were they yelling at you?
Super dangerous.
Is it?
Had no control. Anything could have happened.
It was more for their concern. It was.
Yeah. They didn't care about me.
That's fair.
Whatever.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
I'm not gonna walk down the mountain. You crazy?
Yeah, it's a big old mountain. Yikes! That brings up a lot of good snowboarding memories. Did we ever snowboard together? I don't think we did.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
Probably not.
That's an experience we'll work on sharing.
Save for one day down the road.
Yeah, maybe on the next show. We'll do a snowboarding.
Snowboarding update.
Snowboarding part two. So then, you know, we move on to high school, and I want to know, give me one of your top memories of us in high school.
In a high school?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. Top memories.
Even just ones that are coming to your mind. Just let them
Play. Yeah, so one of the first one that comes to my mind is us going to... I want to say it was winter formal together.
Oh.
No, homecoming. It was definitely homecoming because that's how we got the pictures of the basketball player. So me and Nick go to homecoming together. You know, I'm his date. He's mine. Wild night of dancing and
grinding,
just partying, bro. In like 10th grade, what grade? Probably 10th, 11th.
It was 10th grade for me.
11th for me, yeah. So we had a solid night, cleaned up after because we were both like an ASB probably.
Yeah.
And then we took like all these glow in the dark basketballs that they had.
Yeah.
And then they had these printed out pictures like poster size of each of the basketball players for homecoming.
Granted, they weren't very good photos.
No, like, they were very poor quality.
It was like a Kodak.
Yeah, and we took three pictures, random ones, of people we were hardly friends with, and we hung them up in my room, and they stayed there for probably a solid 2 or 3 years until I graduated.
Just woke up and had inspiration.
Yeah, I just woke up to a random person staring at me. And that was the same night, too. Me and Nick had this goal of trying to wake up at 2 a.m. and do P90X for some reason.
That was, like, the elite thing for us.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound very hard, but We went to bed probably at 1 o'clock. We're like, we'll wake up in an hour and just go send it. And the alarm went off, and I just remember like being like, no, like I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And then you're like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
But you're still laying there too. And then you grabbed a shoe and threw it at me. And I was like, I'm not doing it, Nick. And you're like, fine. And then we both just fell asleep. And that was the closest we got to
making it happen. I remember so you wouldn't wake up when I was like, Kyle. And so I called you, and it was like, and you said, hello. And I said, bro, I'm right next to you.
That's pretty funny.
And that's how I got you up. But you're right. I think you're on something. Like, it doesn't sound hard, but I have never met anybody that's ever done it, you know?
I mean, people go to the gym at 2 a.m., but, like, usually they get off work late, go, or I don't know. But to go to bed, wake up, work out, and then go to bed again, that's a feat right there.
And you got
to
put in the DVD, you know, it's like...
Tony, man.
Tony. It's a whole thing.
So, that's the challenge of the week.
If you're out there. Yeah, we'll start a new viral challenge called 2 a.m. Pint PNEX.
That'd be pretty cool.
Bring Tony Orton back into business. Haven't seen that guy in a cool minute.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Kind
of
miss him.
Yeah, that's a solid memory right there that I have of us.
That was a good one.
What's one you got?
Oh, man, that one's really... Oh, I got a great one. Okay, so we were... Kyle and Nick, two raging partying guys. I don't know what the occasion was. It was, I'm not allowed to say the name or whatever, but like, I don't think it was just a get together. Like, he wanted all of his guy friends to come over and play like football and basketball and stuff, but it was like, long story short, this thing goes all day long. It's like all afternoon, all night, and then I saw that he had these 1 gallon water jugs in his garage. I know
exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
And it was his birthday party.
It was his birthday party? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
We just didn't talk to girls, so
yeah.
That's why it was all dudes.
Yeah. I think there was probably a few girls
there. Yeah, there were.
As soon as they showed up, I saw the water jug.
And we left.
So we grabbed the water jug, Kyle and I grabbed the water jug, and we go into the back of somebody's pickup truck.
Yeah, I don't know whose truck that was. I don't remember.
Yeah, zero clue. But we try to down this gallon of water as fast as we could. For no reason. Like, it's not like it wasn't a viral challenge. It wasn't.
Yeah, I think we just set a timer and
we set a timer for us. It was like 10 minutes.
You said, Kyle, we have to finish this gallon of water as fast as we can.
I think it was like 10 minutes, maybe. Yeah. And so we were chugging.
I was like, that sounds easy. I've had glasses of water pretty fast.
We completed it. We did it in 10
yeah,
minutes.
But do you remember what happened after?
It's the only reason I remember. It was like timer went off and you just bleh!
Like, Nick, dude, I just puked out water. Like, it didn't taste bad. Like, someone could have put their mouth under and caught it all, and it would have been totally fine.
Yeah, smooth sailing.
Yeah, little double use of that water.
A little mama bird action. That was a really good memory for me.
That was solid.
That was so...
random. And
yeah. That's like something that's missing in my adulthood, you know? Like, why can't
poor,
I just...
Poor decisions.
Yeah, why can't I just like be like, hey, let's chug this gallon of water.
Try it at work on Monday.
Yeah, you're right. See how that goes. Hey, guys, let's take this out of the water cooler, this big jug, and all drink out of it. I'll be turning heads. Let's just say that. But there is something to say of, like, reckless, not reckless, like, just fun. It's like a fun youth type thing.
Yeah. You know? Definitely. And I mean, those create, like, the best memories. That's why we remember those things, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, like, how to carry that same sort of youth into your adulthood, you know? Because really, in my short career experience, like, I feel like it's definitely difficult to not get jaded in
or be called immature, things like that.
Yeah
It's like you're supposed to grow up and be an adult now.
Yeah, and I think it's so weird when people say the words like adulting, like I'm hashtag adulting, I'm being an adult right now. I think that's dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's kind of The stuff that they say it for is pretty dumb.
Like having wine with the girls on Wednesday?
Yeah, or buying a new car and being $25,000 in debt.
Yeah.
A kid could sign his line on a paper and make that decision too, you know?
We've been writing our names since kindergarten. Yeah. Nothing impressing me there. But, yeah. It's probably a mindset.
Yeah.
It's all a mindset.
It's all a mindset, being an adult. Just gotta shut it off.
Because I've been thinking about this lately. I'm gonna hit you. I hit you?
Punch me right in the face.
Right now. I've been thinking about the difference between being alive, you know what I mean?
Being like, what?
Being alive. Like, living and existing. That's been my two things lately. Is like taking risks and like not having the fear of additional life experience. You know, like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Like for me, and my just a realistic example is like switching jobs is, you know, kind of a scary thing, but at the same time it's like getting life experience. Like now you have more variables in your life that you get to learn to deal with and grow. Like, you're gonna someday, you know, like,
yeah.
Why not go out there and do some stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you do have to find like a balance between like living and being responsible, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you can kind of make the most out of every day and like still make it a living experience. Like even just going to work and like doing crazy stuff, like chugging a gallon of water in a day.
Yeah.
Or in 10 minutes.
That's not irresponsible.
Nah. I'm just healthy.
Yeah.
I'm just don't overhydrate. I think someone died doing that.
Just one guy.
Just one.
It's the guy's birthday. He got too many water jugs. That's how he died. No, passed away.
Died from being too hydrated.
You hate to see it.
Hate to.
Oh. But yeah, that's something I've been thinking about these days. I'm also rocking this chair, making it a rocking chair. It's not a rocking chair if you're hearing the creaks in the back.
Could be.
You can make it anything you want it to be. It could identify as a rocking chair.
It could.
You never know.
Yeah, you didn't ask.
I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, what's up?
So, I have a lot of great things to say about you.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah, I do. And I'm not going to say them all right now. I'm going to save them for some time. Maybe a speech someday.
All right.
Like, not for you, just like a speech I'm going to give. Like, I don't even know if you'll be there, but I'm going to use examples.
Sweet. As long as it's, like, recorded and I get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Anyway, one of the characteristics that I think you have that is great is you're a very forgiving guy. Like, you forgive and you're a gracious man. It's my opinion, everyone. Is, first of all, where do you think that stems from, and like what part of you is like conscious of that, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, first off, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's very kind.
Second off, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think where it stems from is kind of my overall personality. Like, I'm a pretty laid-back person, I've been told. I've had a few friends that have literally tried to annoy me to get me to get upset because say I never get mad.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it work?
No.
Too chill.
Yeah, we were actually, that's a funny story. I'll run through real quick. But
oh,
we were,
hit me with it.
Yeah, so it was Mario and Jake. Shout out to them. We were camping in Mammoth, and they just kept like trying to bug me. Like I was trying to sleep. They just kept hitting me with pillows pulling me out of my sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And I just was laughing because they were like, oh, we're not going to stop till you're mad. They kept poking my face. And then they were both on cots, and I just reached on each side and flipped the cots, and they both fell onto the floor, and I started dying, and I was like, guys, I'm not mad, that's just funny.
Yeah, classic.
But yeah, that's just my personality. Like, I'm a pretty laid-back guy, so I think that's kind of where, like, somebody, like, wrongs me or, like, you know, needs forgiveness. I'm kind of, like, not super angry in the first place. There have been times where people, you know, definitely pushing my limits. But that's just kind of who I am, and kind of what I believe, and I don't know, people deserve chances and opportunities, and not all perfect, so, you know. There's plenty of times, plenty of times I've been in the wrong, I've messed up, and people have forgave me, and that's ultimately, too, what, like, friendship's about. It's like, are you just going to hold a grudge with someone? Well, and relationships in general, like, with everyone, like, are you just going to hold a grudge with someone, or are you going to, you know, get past this obstacle, get past this challenge, and, you know, forgive them for something they messed up on? But...
do you think that's a first reaction for you at times?
Oh, no, definitely. It's definitely something I have to, like, think about and work on. Like, there have been times where I have been, like, upset, and I'm like, man, never want to talk to this person again. Like, that was way too much. But, you know, after taking some time reflecting on my own personal life and, like, you know, my faith, that's a huge thing we could get into. I feel like people do deserve forgiveness in most situations. Has there ever been an opportunity where I had to forgive you? Because I can't really think of any.
Really? I just think that, like, I just, in my experience, for you specifically, I think you've seen me at my best, and I think you've seen me at my worst, and I think you've accepted both. So I think that's like a form of forgiveness, for sure.
That makes sense.
And I don't think accepting always correlates to forgiveness necessarily, but I think in our situation, since it's so long term, like, just understanding challenges and, like, walking alongside me rather than being like, bro, you're a broken guy, I'm out. I think that's very similar.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, seeing you, like, when you're not the person, like, I'm like, oh, that guy's awesome. And then I see you, like, worse than that. Yeah. I can be like, oh, that's not the guy I chose to be friends with. I'm out.
You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, this guy's not making me laugh. This guy's making bad decisions. Or whatever it is, you know.
Definitely.
What would you say to someone that, like, they have something against someone that they think is unforgivable? And, like, do you think that forgiveness always means maintaining a relationship with that person?
That's a tough question. You know, I think the first thing you have to think about when, like, diving into that question is forgiving that person and, like, maintaining a friendship or relationship with them going to be, like, healthy for you? Like, if you, like, I believe you can choose to forgive someone and still, like, kind of be upset or, like, still, you know, still kind of have, like, those feelings towards them. But, yeah, I would just say, like, you have to think about your own health first. Like, yeah, maybe I'm going to forgive someone, but, like, it's not going to be healthy if I'm spending time with them every day still and still maintaining a friendship that is unhealthy for me. So I'd say you can forgive people, but I wouldn't say necessarily you need to maintain that relationship.
I agree with that. I can think of a few instances in my life where I've been like, I don't even have close contact with this person, but, like, either directly or indirectly, they've wronged me. And I'm, like, not in an environment that I'll ever see them again or whatever. I mean, sure, technology, you can reach anybody. But, like, a lot of it of, like, letting... I'm gonna say letting go, but, like, I think truly forgiving someone is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, definitely. In the sense of... because I think not forgiving someone, you build a sense of hate against them. And I think, because I think grudges turn into hate for sure. And there's been pockets of my life where I've not wanted to forgive someone. And it's, I know it's cliche to be like, it, you know, you hurt yourself more when you don't. But I think it clogged, like, a lot of my life. Like, I couldn't see people because I would see potential for harm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time and energy to dislike and to have that bitterness, you know?
Yeah. And even in the capacity of, like seeing my friends get wronged by someone, and then seeing a similar person be reintroduced into their life that, you know, could very well not wrong them, and being like not as good to that new person. And that could be protection or whatever, but that's still not, because it's not forgiving person A.
Yeah.
And I think that's blocking a lot of like relational, just like health.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I can see that being a challenge. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. I feel like at the end of the day, like, not everyone is compatible. Like, you can still choose to be human towards someone.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think certain people are brought into your life, and certain people, whether they wrong you or not, like, aren't supposed to be in your life or just for phases. So I think that kind of goes to that. I don't know.
Ooh, how do you feel about people that are just for phases? And how do you know?
Oh, man. How do I feel and how do I know? I definitely agree with that statement. I feel like people... I feel like God brings people into your life for certain situations, for certain phases of your life, certain phases of their life, for you to help each other get through difficult times, things like that. How do you know? I think God makes it pretty clear. In my life, I feel like a lot of times, like, I like maintaining relationships.
Yeah.
And even if they're not healthy for me, like, I'll still, like, pursue them because, like, I want to be in people's lives. Yeah. I want to have more friends, like, have more connections. And I feel like God's made it pretty clear, like, in the sense where maybe they'll just stop talking to me. And, like, that's usually a big one, is, like, they'll kind of cut ties. And I'm just like, man... Thanks, God. Like, I'm glad you gave them the
discipline or whatever.
Yeah, discipline to do it, because I didn't have that. So, yeah, I mean, in the end, like, all those people were there for a reason and got me through, like, tough times, or I've got them through tough times. And,
yeah,
like, I think it's very purposeful and very meaningful. Like, there's a lot of people I can think of in high school who, like, you know, I was next to them through, like, some of their darkest times. Some people, like, who I barely even knew at the time. And probably haven't talked to them since, you know, that conversation. So yeah. I think it's definitely a true statement.
Do you think there comes a point where you're... I don't want to say play a role, but, like, understand that that could be your role. Like, are you ever aware of that? Because I, in my very recent times, I've been seeing myself in, like, little glimpses of people's lives where I'm, like, popping in and, like, providing something for them. And I'm, like, my mindset's always to be what you're saying. Like, maintain the relationship, be consistent, because that's, like, growth and, like, very healthy for relationships. But, like, is there a time where you know that's your role? Where you're stepping into someone's life and you know, like, this is, you know, only for a season, quote-unquote.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's hard to kind of know, like, beforehand. I think that's kind of a role you step into, and you're just, like, kind of out of the goodness of your heart and, like, desires just to, like, help them and be there for them. And then whatever comes from that after, you know, like, sometimes they are lifelong friends and sometimes they're not. But I don't think there's a way to know beforehand if that's your position. I think... I have talked to a few people where they feel like they're really there to, like their purpose on earth is just to help people. So maybe they have more of a mindset like, oh, I helped them through this. All right, now time to move on. But for me personally, like, my mindset's more like, oh, I helped them through this. Like, we got through this together. Like, we're going to be good friends now.
Yeah. It's long term.
So it's perspective. It's what you feel your role on earth is. Things like that.
I agree. This is... huge. Choosing your friends, and I'd be curious as to how you would say your friends growing up contributed to your character, and how you choose your friends now as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the first things I look for with friendship is, like, if they have a similar sense of humor. That's, like,
that's number one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, look around my friends, and they're all very similar to us. Yeah, a lot of my best friends are, have a very unique personality and very, you know, like, I don't know, playful spirit and just want to enjoy life. So I think that's the first thing I look for. How I choose my friends now, I feel like, yeah, that's influenced and definitely very similar. I think now being older, maybe I'm a little more open to like thinking about like, I don't know, long term and like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, for me, like, I'm in a place in life where I'm going to be moving all the time. So, like, if I'm going to invest in someone, like, I know, like, 2 years, a year from now, we're going to be, like, on different sides of the world, possibly. So, like, I feel like I'm kind of intentional on, like, who I'm friends with, who I, like, who I choose to share my time with. Because, like, I don't want all these, like, very shallow relationships that, like, I'm just kind of wasting time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So how would you say your friends contribute to your character?
So, yeah, sorry, I skipped that one.
How dare you?
How dare I?
You don't skip questions on this show.
Yeah, I know. I just maybe the dodged other ones, that. But not this one. My bad. Sorry, it was right here in front on the paper, too. I just totally forgot.
Yeah, my bad.
Let's see.
Good thing the camera turned off. Nobody will know if that's true or not.
Oh, it's true. That's me crumbling it up right there.
I just ripped it.
I ripped it again. Man, you don't even have to add sound effects later. We can do them all.
Yeah.
Ready?
Just. How did you do that? Man, is that real?
Yeah, dude. I just threw a penny into a pond. Ready? Yeah. Make a wish. There we go.
What are the ones you got in
there? That's about all I got. I got this thing.
The old tobacco can. I don't got it. I can. I feel like
you can snap. Wow.
Well, this is a snap, and this is the top, the middle finger.
Ready,
snap.
Ready.
How did you do that? He's doing all of his fingers right now for you listeners at home.
And that, folks, is how you dodge a question. I'm just kidding.
You ever find yourself in an interview and you don't know what to do? Snap with all of your fingers.
Just start making random noises.
Say, have you heard of Little John? Snap your fingers, and then just go off. You'll stay.
That's funny. There's actually a guy on America's Got Talent named Bobby Badfingers, and he did like a whole song snapping.
He's got bad fingers? I guess. Sounds like he's got good fingers.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I tried that, and I was like, oh, I can do that too. That's kind of cool.
Kind of want to see it one more time. Can I see it one more time?
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. 10,000 hours of practice, ready? And that could be you. Dude,
whole song right there.
Yeah, wow, Julian. I don't want to know. Never mind. I don't want to know how many hours you spent trying to.
Not that many. We'll watch the video after, and you'll see.
Yeah, I'll see.
Pretty cool.
Right. Super cool. Okay. Well, answer the question.
All right. Question: how did my friends develop my character? I think I surrounded myself with people who are very like-minded. Well, I don't want to say like-minded. Ugh. Who shared the same morals as me and same values. Yeah, so I think, you know, just being around people like that, like, influence how you develop, how you grow, the person you want to be, you know, whether it's people older than you, you know, you look up to them and say, that's the kind of man I want to be, that's kind of woman I want to be. So yeah, I think that's kind of it. Like, I don't know, a lot of my friends I grew up with were in the church and we shared similar interests.
Cool.
Got good role models in my life.
Blessed.
Yeah, blessed.
I really do think, at least on my side, that my character comes a lot from my friends.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I really do. And I don't know. I don't think that's by chance. But it really makes me think that if I was in a different circumstance and I chose friends that were like if I hung out, it's... My example here, I'll give you two extreme examples. Like to make videos, go to LA. I hang out with people that like to make videos. I got friends that like to make videos now, right? If you hang out with people that like to make videos, you're probably going to end up making videos. If you hang out with mass murderers, you'll probably end up being a mass murderer. That's the extreme example, though.
Very extreme. Hot take.
Hot take. I don't know. Don't
hey, you think that... That's kind of what that statement is, you are what you eat.
Oh my gosh.
I've never really thought of it like that, but...
if you're a good, if you eat a good friend,
yeah, you can be a good friend. I don't know if that's where I was going with it.
Oh, I don't get it. You should write fortune cookies. I think you're honest.
Wait, that's a normal saying.
Nah.
All right.
But how you meant it was different.
Yeah. I'm just going to put that in a fortune cookie. You are what you eat. I'm a fortune cookie.
But they're going to read it differently because you wrote it.
You're right.
They're going to know the deeper meaning behind it.
Hopefully.
I hope so too. Kyle, you've done a lot of cool things in your life.
Have I?
Surprisingly, yeah. I mean, nobody thought you were going to. Okay, you skydove. Skydived. Skydived? Dived? You skydived.
I don't know. I'm skydiving, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
I'm going to try to say something other than travel that I can think of that you've done as cool. You fly planes every day.
Yeah.
Pilot. That's cool.
That's cool.
Let me think of another one. Have you gone bungee jumping?
I have not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. That's not very cool of you.
Yeah, I'm pretty lame.
No, I'm just kidding.
I say I got two whole things. It's pretty good though.
How do you think skydiving compares to flying planes?
Oh man. Let's see. Skydiving was a lot less adrenaline than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Cause you kind of just like are strapped to someone. I mean, maybe it'd be a different experience if I like actually got my like skydiving cert and like did it by myself.
Yeah.
But the times I've gone, it's just like you're kind of strapped to someone and you just kind of fall out and they do everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It wasn't a lot of adrenaline.
You're in the back.
You're in the front.
Okay, that's good. He was in the back.
Yeah. He, she, yeah.
Oh, you don't know?
No, it's the guy both times.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know. You just, it's not a lot of adrenaline just because you kind of do it and it goes by quick.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew I'd be okay. Like, I don't know. Flying planes, I get a lot of adrenaline before it because I like know I'm being graded on every little thing I do. So that's kind of where that comes from. And just like doing loops and like rolls and the crazy stuff they let us do. That's like, that's pretty exciting. And knowing like you're in control of all that, like just putting the aircraft into a spin where you're literally facing the ground spinning and you're just like, whoa, this is gnarly.
How do you...
And on top of that, you're, like, sitting on $1 million ejection seat, and you're like, man, if I pull this handle, I can just shoot out.
There's a sound effect.
And then my IP would go with me.
Whether you want to
or not. Yeah, exactly. So it's just, it's a cool job. I'm pretty blessed.
That is cool. To give context, Kyle is a pilot, or what would you say, training to be a pilot?
Yeah, student pilot in the Air Force. Yeah, I'm about halfway through. I get my wings in June, so...
Gang.
How pretty excited for that.
Would you say it's the hardest thing you've ever done in your life?
Yeah, so pilot training is pretty brutal. Yeah. It's 52 weeks.
Some would say a year.
Some would say a year. I'd say 52 weeks because it feels like...
a little longer.
Yeah, some would say 365 days because
how many minutes? I
couldn't tell you.
Pulling out of this
thing. But yeah, no, it's definitely the hardest thing I've done. Which I think says a lot because, like, I got my engineering degree in college. I've done some challenging things. I've ran marathons, like, so it's difficult. It's just long, exhausting, mentally draining, emotionally draining. Like, you show up every day, you have a 12-hour day, and you're expected to perform. Like, you have to be your best every day. Like, you cannot have an off day.
Yeah, it sucks.
And then you go home and you study for the next day and make sure you're prepared for the next day. So it's just like a kind of a never ending loop of like, I got to be ready. So I think that's where most of the stress comes from is like just an everyday thing. So I was talking to one of my buddies who actually went to law school before pilot training.
Wow.
So he went to law school. He was an attorney for like 2-3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I'm like, dude, law school is supposed to be very challenging. Like it's supposed to be really hard. Yeah. Like my little brother's in law school right now and he's just... It's like swamped. Always studying, like it's crazy. He's like, yeah, like it's tough, but like the difference is like you're not taking finals every day in law school. Like you have one at the end of the semester for each class and that's your grade. But with like pilot training, it's like every day you show up, you're taking one test, two tests, flying twice, doing sims, like eyes are on you, you're getting graded on everything you do. So it's like it's a lot more daily stress.
Yeah. But critical eyes are on you. You
know, definitely, like yeah.
It's not like somebody's just watching you do it. Somebody's like intently evaluating you. Yeah, evaluating is a great word. How would you say that
mental toughness comes into play.
Yeah, so it's a daily battle, like, especially when, like, you're not getting enough sleep. There's outside factors affecting your training. Mm-hmm. You're still trying to keep a social life, keep a spiritual life. Yeah, so we talk a lot about the four pillars. You got, let's see if I know them before I try to spit them out, but your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical.
Nice.
So you just kind of have to balance those things and, like, yeah, maybe you had a long day, but, like, still important to go to the gym and probably, like, release some of that stress. And
for sure.
Still important to call, you know, loved ones, friends, family, and, like, you know, just for have sure. those relationships and not be cut off and just, like, get home and start studying. So yeah. It's all about finding balance, and that's kind of where, like, mental toughness comes from. It's about balancing your time, your thoughts, your emotions, things like that, and really just, like, you know, prioritizing things.
That's so interesting. How would you say... What does mental toughness look like in regards to balance? Like, is it found in the discipline, or is it in controlling those emotions, thoughts, physical?
Honestly, I would say mental toughness is, like, more of the controlling. Like,
okay.
I don't think toughness means, like, you're not allowed to have a bad day. You're not allowed to, like, be upset. Like, there's been plenty of days I've gotten home and I'm just, like, in my head, I'm like, man, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And, like... For me, like, my mental toughness is saying, okay, I just need to take a break from all this. I need to go shoot hoops. Need to go work out. Need to just, like, you know, it's okay to, like, I don't want to say be weak, but, like, just to, like, shut off your brain for a little bit. And
yeah.
So I'd say mental toughness comes more from just, like, kind of knowing what you need and, like, taking care of that.
Wow, I've never thought of that perspective before. Oh man, mental toughness can come from knowing what you need and then doing it.
Yeah.
So it's not the thought of, I'm also curious on the side of negative thoughts. Like, you have someone evaluating you 24/7. You have fatigue coming into play. You have, this program is so long. Can I do it? I'm sure those are just thoughts that come into your mind.
Oh yeah. Daily. Yeah.
How do you navigate through negative thoughts to keep your eye on...
Yeah. So, I think a great answer for that is, like, sometimes being tough is relying on other people. Like, there have been plenty of days where I get an unsatisfactory on a flight. Like, did terrible. They straight up told me, you did terrible.
Yeah.
You gotta redo the flight. Damn. And I just got home, and I'm like, dang it. Like, I don't even want to be a pilot. Like, I suck at this. Like... yeah. I'm 20 flights in and I still can't get the hang of it. Like, yeah. Obviously that's not that many, but you know, a lot of us have type A personalities where we hold ourselves to, like, these standards, these expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just have to, like, there's been plenty of days, like, where I'm just, like, upset about it. Don't think I can do it. Want to quit. And, like, I'll just have to call my parents, call my brother, call you, call one of my friends.
Yeah.
And I've said it to them. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like, well, just try it again tomorrow. Like, keep trying until they tell you, like, hey, you're not cut out for this. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of how I personally deal with negative thoughts, is, like, leaning on other people. Okay. Like, yeah, you can be tough and say, oh, these are just thoughts, I'm going to get through this. Like,
prideful.
I'll do better tomorrow. But, like, I think sometimes it's okay to be vulnerable and to, like, express those thoughts to other people and to have them remind you of the ultimate goal. Like, ultimately, you're going to kind of have to hold yourself accountable to that and be like, okay, I'm here for this reason.
Yeah.
This is what I want. I'm going to get to that point. But I think at times, it's okay to lean on other people, your friends, your family. And, like, I think that's what they're there for, you know, get you through tough times.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the prideful part of us is thinking that nobody else ever has these thoughts.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, that's one thing that's been pretty beneficial to me, is, like, I'll be talking with friends, like, through pilot training, and I'll be like, dude, I just had a terrible day. Like, I don't know if I can do this. And they'll be like, they've literally told me, like, I'm so glad you said that. Like, I was literally having that thought yesterday. Like, I thought, like, I wasn't cut out for this. Like, I'm doing terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, the more people you talk to, the more you realize, like, almost everyone's having these same exact thoughts as you. And, like, leaning on each other is what's going to get you through it.
Yeah. And you're not going to get there without being vulnerable.
Exactly.
And real and open.
Exactly. You don't want to deal with all those feelings on your own, because that's kind of what mentally drains you. And
Yeah.
It's like fighting a battle inside, like, on your own. Like, I don't know, you just don't want that. Yeah.
And I think on the flip side, if you're the one that's receiving the call from somebody that's, like, being vulnerable, a good, like, rule of thumb is, like, hold a mirror to them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what you're not seeing.
Yeah.
You know? This is who you are. And just kind of remind them of those things.
Yeah, definitely. Someone told me once, like, you constantly have to be, like, getting filled up and also, like, being poured out. You don't want to overflow and you don't want to be too empty. So it's like you got to pour into people, but you also have to be poured into.
Yeah. It's like a waterfall effect.
Yeah, just...
It's almost like a...
Can't even do it.
Laughing. It's like a slinky going downstairs.
Yeah, there you go.
Except there's 1,000 slinkies all going at the same time.
1,000 million slinkies.
Continuous slinkies. That's wild, man. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man. I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Why? For the show?
Yeah, dude.
Because the show's going so well right now?
Oh, it's going to blow up. It's only a matter of time.
I think so. You got any embarrassing things that happened to you lately? I've been, we've gotten some cool stuff about you. I'm kind of trying to... Let's even it out here.
All right. Embarrassing things. Oh, man. I'm sure there's plenty, man. Yeah. That's, you kind of put me on the spot here.
Have you ever gotten a math question wrong before? Can you tell me the question that you got wrong?
Yeah, dude. I'll give you a great example.
Really?
Yeah, I was in fourth grade.
You're lying. Is this real?
This is a real question, yeah. I was in fourth grade. I was on the math team.
Oh, great.
And this is tough to say.
Oh, dude, don't tell me. Okay, hit me. I'm ready for it.
All right, so I was on the math team, and we, like, did this, like, relay thing. You ran up, answered a question, mm-hmm. flipped the card over, and someone else goes.
Yeah.
And there's a competition between all the schools. And I remember I ran up there.
Yeah.
I was in fourth grade, so this was kind of a tough one, but it was 11 times 11. I was like,
ooh.
Easy, 122.
Oh.
Ran and sat down. And then I was like, it's 121, man.
Oh, bro, one off.
We lost. We lost by one question.
No.
Yeah.
Dude, never live it down.
Never live it down. So,
regrets.
Sorry, everyone, I let down that day.
For any of you fourth graders out there listening. All you
fourth graders are still up. Pretty sure it's 121, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I tried it in my head. That's okay, the good. Same answer I got, but we could both be wrong.
All right. Well, we'll be wrong together, hopefully.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah, hopefully not. All right, you ready for another compliment?
Sure.
Sweet. There's another great trait that you have that I've caught on to your good trait recently, probably within the last few years. You're an active listener.
It's because I got these headphones on. I can hear everything.
I'm just amplifying everything that I'm saying. I'm literally speaking straight into your earlobes right now.
Couldn't not listen if I didn't want to.
You know what? That's the way I want it for the rest of your life. So I want you to glue those to your ears.
I will.
And then
we'll carry this around. Yeah. Talking to the mic, please.
Extension cord everywhere I go. Yeah, can I get a number 4 straight into your noggin?
That'd be awesome.
Not the McChicken again. Next stop. Order something different this time. Can't even hear you. You can only hear me.
Wow.
It's a beautiful scenario.
That's a crazy life.
It would be. You're a great listener. And... I've been trying to figure out what things you do that, like, it's like night and day sort of stuff from, like, and I'm not, like, when I talk to other people, like, I try to see if they're listening to what I'm saying or if they're aware of what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's only been a handful of other people that I feel like, my whole goal kind of recently when I talk to people is to make them feel like they're the only person in the room. Like, I am focused on them and I'm caring about what they're saying and I can...
Yeah, that's good.
It's hitting me, you know? And I can hear it. How does this come to be? Like, my guess is you're probably not conscious of it. Like, I think it's part of who you are. But I think this is like a grown skill for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk on that a little.
I'll try to listen to it a little.
All right, sounds good. Man, I don't know. That's funny because I feel like at times that's something I really struggle with. I feel like there'll be times where I'm like honestly having like a deep conversation with someone or even just a like normal daily conversation and they'll be talking to me and I'll just be thinking about something else. Yeah. And then I like have to refocus. I'm like, whoa, dude, like you need to focus. You're mid conversation with someone. You're like spilling their life to you and you're just like,
gotta recover.
Yeah. You're just like not absorbing it. Or there'll be times where people are just talking to me and I'm just like not understanding what they're saying. So I don't know, maybe I think kind of just like letting them know you're aware of what they're saying, like even if you don't understand it, or just like, I don't know, not doing other things, looking past them, eye contact, things like that.
That is true. I think you're either 100 or zero.
Yeah. Times.
Like I can tell when you're not listening to me at all, but at least I know, like at least I know.
Do I do that a lot?
If the phone's out, I'm kind of, like, I already know. I could just say whatever I want. Yeah,
not a good multitasker.
Yeah. But when you are, like, engaged, like, mm-hmm. I know it's 100%.
Yeah.
And I still think that's, like, valuable skill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I'm glad you think so, because I feel like that's something I definitely need to work on, because I feel like I'm not...
Well, good.
...always completely present. But I do try to be. Well,
that's a whole different thing, though, right? Yeah. Like, being present in the moment.
Yeah, that's true. I will tell you one thing I'm very bad at.
I'd love to hear.
Like, I think this is kind of why I'm a good listener, is because I'm terrible at giving advice and having an answer.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very, very bad at, like, coming up with a solution or, like, solving a problem, like, someone else's problem or, like, giving good advice. I think I'm very, like, bad at that. Like, I usually have no words. So I think I try to compensate for that by just, like, letting them know that, hey, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I want to be here for you. I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I might not have the words, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think it's one thing if I do that versus, like, it doesn't look like I'm listening. I'm, like, kind of zoning out. And then at the end, I'm like, yeah, I got nothing to say. You yeah. know? They're like, well, that's because you weren't listening at all. Yeah. So.
But then if you listen and you say
it. Yeah, if you listen, yeah, like, I don't know.
It's more sincere, you know?
Definitely, like, hey, I'll think about it. I'll try to, like, I heard everything you said. Like, I don't have an answer for you right now. I don't know how to help right now, but, like, yeah. I'll think about it. Like, I heard what you said.
Honestly, I do feel pressure when I...
Yeah, it's...
When I fully listen to somebody's problem, I feel pressure.
It is a lot of pressure. And I'm like... They're pouring out, you know, very vulnerable parts of them, and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they expect you to have something for them. Like,
yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, a lot of people just care that you are listening. So start with that and go from there.
That's true. Oh, man. But there's also something to be said, like, being someone that people feel comfortable telling those things to.
Because
you'd be the best listener in the world, but, like, give off. You could be untrustworthy for one, but you could also be off. Putting in some way, like, have you ever met someone and like it's not that you don't trust them, you're just like, I would just never tell them that. I would just never tell them anything.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I don't know, is it body language, like,
I don't know, it's
personality.
Yeah, personality, friendships, like, you're gonna tell the people you're closest to, the people.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But yeah. Have you, I mean, I feel like you've probably met somebody that, like, you met once or twice, and second or third time they're like, bah!
yeah there's been a lot of those conversations,
right. It's probably, no, it's definitely who you are. The foundation of who you are is probably,
yeah, I think so. I think people are pretty self-aware of other people's intentions, other people's character, like, personality, and, like, I don't know, we draw to who we feel safe and comfortable around, and
yeah,
I don't know, I try to give off that aroma.
A nice wet one. To nice, let them,
yeah.
That's disgusting. Let's both drink our water. Delicious.
I can shoot water really far out of my teeth.
I bet you I could shoot it farther. Which tooth?
Right in between the middle.
I could do that one. I could do the side ones too.
I can't do the sides.
Let's do the middle right now.
At each other or what?
Camera's going.
We don't have enough range, dude. I can hit any corner in this.
Oh, me too, dude. Me too.
Easy. Yeah, me too. We'll settle this later.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting that hasn't come up yet is we lived together in a car yeah. for 8 months. I didn't even.
We're both. Dude, it's more like 10, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was just going. Yeah.
I guess I moved out technically January because we left to Asia. But I moved in end of March.
Let's say you moved out in March.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean that's. I would say I lived in the burb for January, February when we were in China.
Yeah.
So.
Call the year.
Call the year, baby. A whole year in the burb.
No, but it was a significant amount of time. And someone asked me the other day when I was telling him about it. They said, did you guys ever get annoyed with each other? Like, you're just living close to this guy? Like, yeah. I'm like, honestly, like, no. We, if anything, we grew more fond of each other yeah. and became even better friends. But I did caveat it by saying I don't think I could have done it with anyone else.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out very well.
Bro, people ask me the same question all the time. And I always say, no, dude, I fell in love. I felt like I was preparing for marriage.
I think it's funny, too, because I'm pretty introverted in the sense, like, I need my alone time. Like,
same.
I need to recharge, like, dude, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I think we just meshed, like, time alone together was time alone.
Yeah, yeah, it was recharging for both.
Yeah, so.
It was nice. And it was, I can't even, I don't know why. It was
so, I don't either.
It was like, anytime we both needed something, yeah. It was just like, yeah, that we're doing that.
Yeah, it worked out very well. We got...
Wild.
I don't know why, but it was awesome.
I would like to... Where was your head at before moving into the burb?
Uh-huh.
Let's start there. Where was your head at? Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So first conversation of it, like, hey, I got hired at this company. Like, I was like, you straight up said, like, I have an open bed. You're more than welcome to live with me.
Yeah.
I was like, heck yeah, dude. That's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen what you've been doing on mm-hmm. YouTube. Like, it looks mm-hmm. so much fun. Of course mm-hmm. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first thought. And I think I had that thought all the way up until, like, I packed up my car and I drove down there late that one night, the day before I started work. And then I got into the burb and we were, like, sleeping outside of base. It was, like, kind of sketch. Like,
it was rough.
We were on a hill, like, and I just went, I straight up told you, I was like, dude, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, every night. This sounds rough. And you're like, you said, just give it 2 weeks. You'll fall in love with it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, dude. After that first night,
It was rough.
Yeah. And I went onto my computer and I just started searching for apartments.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to get a place.
Get me out of here.
I'll spend $1,500 a month for my own room. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
At least I'll sleep good. At least I'll have a bed, you know, a real bed. I'm not going to diss the burb. It was a real bed, but four walls.
Inside, yeah.
And so that was my thought after that. I think about a week and a half in is when, like, the roughness of it was, like,
subsiding.
Yeah, it turned into fun.
Yeah.
It turned into, like, hey, this is normal life now.
Yeah. PB&J's every meal? Okay.
And then I think we started to get more of a, like, routine. We started to get more comfortable with, like, a daily schedule. We found, like, a good place to, like, set up camp.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where I just kind of settled in and was like, dude, let's do this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a awesome experience. If you have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
I learned so much about myself, about friendship, about, you know, just being thankful for things. And yeah, I love telling, excuse me. I love telling that story to people. Like, I'm very proud of myself when I get to tell that.
Yeah. Hit me. What did you learn in regards to, like, yourself and friendship?
What I learned about myself is, like, I can live with a lot of things that I don't need.
Yeah.
I can live a very minimalistic life. I don't need all these fancy things that I thought I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how blessed I really am. With, you know, even just having a roof over my head most nights. What I learned about friendship is, like, dude, you literally opened up the one thing you had, like, for me was a bed to sleep on. And, like, you were literally living in, what, 15 square feet of like space, and then you're like, dude, I got plenty of room. Let's cut that in half. Like,
oh yeah.
And I just we just sent it, dude. It was awesome. I was super thankful for that. And then let's see. What was the final thing I said?
Yeah.
Friendship, myself. And just life. Grateful, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just like being grateful. Like I think that's kind of the underlying theme we both kind of shared is just like, dude, even just having a burb, like it was such a blessing.
Yeah. Place to sleep.
Yeah. Now we get a word on our chest. Maybe a tattoo on our ankle.
Hey, we'll see.
Let the fans live on that one.
There's been a long debate about that.
We'll all we need is 2,500 likes.
Kyle's dad said if we get 2,500 likes,
he would approve of.
He would approve of Kyle and I getting. Well, I mean, I'm in the clear, but yeah, Kyle getting the
go. I mean, I'm in the clear too, but yeah, I want my parents to be like.
Disown.
You're dumb. I mean, they already think that, but.
We got this son and he's dumb. Ugh. What are some of your top memories from the burb?
Top memories. Dude, playing basketball was a good one.
Just, oh my gosh.
We played so much basketball. The military police knocking on the door. That was a good one.
Yeah. How'd you handle that? It's one of my faves. Love that story.
Yeah, dude. So I just pulled out my ID and said, like...
No, hold on. You gotta backtrack.
I don't...
You gotta do the whole thing? Oh my gosh. All right. Let me set the tone. We're sleeping. Or no, we're not sleeping. We're both chilling in the burb, but...
Maybe chatting, getting ready to sleep.
We were chatting, and I remember I had changed into clothes to sleep in. So I was wearing basketball.
Oh, not this wasn't the military police. This was the random
dudes. Oh, that was the dudes. Military police.
I'm thinking of the dudes. Was I there for the military police? I don't think I was.
No.
I'm thinking of the dudes that just, like, knocked on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were... So... The context is you were fully dressed in business, and I had my shirt off, but the blanket was covering it. So I'm fairly certain I looked naked from their view.
And they parked their car in front, and they were kind of just looking, being a little nosy. Like, we'd been in that spot for, like, probably 2 months.
Yeah.
And they lived in the dorms, like, right there. And I think they finally just had it. They were like, we need to find out if someone's living in there.
Yeah.
And
they knocked on the driver door.
Yeah.
And you popped out of the back door because that was the only way to get out. Freaked them out right off the bat.
And at that point, they had a good vantage angle, and they could see what was going on in there. They saw beds, clothes, everything.
Yeah, the curtain was up.
Naked dude.
Naked dude. No, first of all, sorry. You were so excited. Do you remember that?
Oh, what?
So many knocking. Because I had told you I had, like, a knocking experience, and you're like, oh, man, dude, I kind of want that. And I was like, hey, bro, these guys are rolling up. You're like, oh, dude, I'll answer it, bro. And you're so pumped, and you got out. And he's like, hey, and you're like, hey. Like, so
there's, like, four of them, and I'm just like...
taken back by it. are you guys living in your car? What did you say?
Yeah, so they said, are you living in your car? I said... No. They were like, nah, I think you're living in your car. I said, nah, I don't think we are. And then it was just awkward. And they're like, well, what are you guys doing here? I'm all, we're staying a few nights here. You're going to go, you know, do a little this, a little that.
I think we were like, yeah, we'd love to get up early and catch a swell.
Catch a swell.
The old surfer vibe.
So, yeah, we shot that, and they were just like, okay, like, you guys got ID? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm actually an officer in the Air Force, like, here. And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
No, I remember you handed him, and they go, oh my gosh, this guy outranks me. Like, this guy said it under his breath.
Yeah, and then we went back in the car, whatever, they left. And then they came back, like, what, 5 minutes later?
Yeah.
They said, hey, we actually don't feel comfortable with you guys being here. We feel like you guys have been here, like, 2 months, which we had.
Yeah, we had, yeah.
And we're like, all right, dude, we'll move. Like, kicking us, evicting us, that's cool.
Yeah, great. You're not our landlord, but I guess we'll go.
I guess we'll go, man. So we left. And
I guess they kept their word, though, because they were like, you leave, we won't. They say they wouldn't tell
us. Yeah, yeah. They're like, if you leave, we won't call anyone. Yeah, so... We found a new and better spot, so, yeah, so thank you, men.
Thank
military
you.
Marine men.
Thank you, military boys.
Yeah. That was a good memory.
You peed in a bottle. You did.
I don't think I ever did. Did I? I think one time.
Yeah, it was one time.
Because I refused to.
Yeah, you were fighting it. Why did you fight it so hard?
I don't know. I just...
It wasn't... Yeah.
It was almost harder to wake up, pee in a bottle, and go back to sleep. Especially because a lot of nights were really cold.
Yeah.
So you're just like, oh, I'm just going to stay under my blanket.
Yeah.
And like... Majority of the time, you just go to bed, like, pretty quickly after, and then you wake up, and you're like,
out,
all right, cool, I'll make it to work.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of my mindset.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I
feel like you didn't do it. Well, you did it pretty often.
I did it often, but it wasn't like a, you know, I had privacy to do it. Yeah. You gave me privacy to pee in the bottle.
Before. Yeah, so you think.
yeah, whatever. Well, I just remember that was a big milestone. It
was. Yeah. I remember we counted weeks too. We'd be like, week number three, week number four. Yeah. 8 weeks later, and we still forget our shirts in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to wear sweaty gym shirts.
Sweaty gym shirts were the worst. Sweaty underwear is the worst.
Yeah. I mean, we had a good routine, but we still made mistakes. We're human.
That's right.
All the way up until week like 50.
50 something.
50
yeah.
something.
I remember one time. I think I forgot my shower shoes, and we both wore onesie.
Yeah. I think one time I just gave you both, and I was like, dude, I think I already have athlete's foot. You can just save yourself.
We both forgot our shower shoes one day, and we both just rocked the shower, and we both got athlete's foot the very next day. Like, the same week, there was no coincidence that it was immediately because we didn't wear shower shoes.
Oh, man.
Disgusting.
One of my favorite days was the weekend we went skimboarding.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that gnarly injury.
Yeah, because I think that first day we did that, and then the second day is when like a bunch of our friends came and we did the interview with Caleb Plouf, and
yeah,
that was a fun weekend.
It was a good time. Weekends were always eventful.
Yeah,
I felt like you know, like there was always something going on.
Definitely, yeah. We visited a lot of friends, things like that. Yeah.
How did you feel about living on the? How did you feel about pursuing your student loan so hard?
Yeah, so, I mean, as my friends saw recently, I am completely debt-free now.
Let's go.
And that was a good feeling. I mean, going to CBU, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
I was blessed and got, like, a lot of scholarships. Air Force paid for, you know, a portion of school, but they did not buy any. A lot of people say, oh, like, didn't the Air Force cover everything? I'm like, no, dude.
No.
Like, I went to a private school. They didn't even cover half of it, so
yeah.
I came out with still, like, you know, a good amount of loans.
Yeah.
So for me, like, dude, getting a paycheck and just being able to put the whole thing, it was bittersweet in the sense, like, oh, man, I just worked 2 weeks, got all this money, and now it's gone again, like, nothing to show for
restart.
It.
Restart.
Yeah, but at the end, like, you see that number going down, it starts to become, like, a very... attainable goal, and you're just like, man, I'm getting pretty close to zero. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I finished it up once I got into the Air Force, and yeah, knocked it out pretty quick, and yeah, it was a good feeling.
But come on now, we were both not eating very much. We were we were starving ourselves, and I would imagine we were both like, we were fatigued for sure. And there's a mindset you have to have there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you have to prioritize, kind of, I don't know, I feel like having you there was an easy motivation. Like, accountability, definitely. I don't know, it became like a fun challenge almost. Yeah, like,
we did, it was pretty playful.
Yeah.
Playful, like it in a seriously playful thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to do it.
Oh, we only have fish sticks left. Let's see how few we can have. This is fun. I'm hungry.
That was such a great time.
No, but it's all about making the most of it. And having someone to share it with was, you know, definitely a much easier experience.
Yeah.
At least from my side. I didn't get to do it solo.
Yeah.
Like you.
Solo days were rough. They were really tough. One of the most wholesome moments for me, and over the course of our burb experience together, was it just meant a lot to me. Is I had like $2,500 left on my student loans, or it was $4,000, I think. At $4,000, of student loans left, and I had like, I had $2,000 in my savings, and I had like $22,000 in like $150. So if I did out, I had $150 left. And I was like, bro, I could pay him off right now. And you're like, do it, bro. Do it. And I was like, I would have no money. You're like, anything happens, I got you. Emergencies, like, I'll cover it. And I got to do it. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Thanks,
and,
man.
Like, yeah, like, that was, but that was huge. I was like, what if something happens to me, you know? Like, he's gonna drop some dough?
That's yeah, crazy. Dude. I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like that says a lot about our friendship, because I know, like I said it, because I knew you'd do the same for me. Like, yeah. This was a huge goal for you. You set it, set out to do it, like, yeah. Right after graduating, and, like, you spent a lot more on your loans than I did, you know? Yeah. Like, you came pretty far, and you grinded out for, like,
yeah.
You know, it took, what, 11 months, about?
Yeah, 11 months.
So I was like, dude, you're at the end. I get to be a part of this. Like, yeah. Send it, man. Like, I'm here for you. So yeah, we did it. I don't know. I feel like, if anything, I feel more blessed to be able to, like, be there for you and, like, be a friend in that situation and someone you could count on. So
happy it was you.
Thanks, me too.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of this podcast. Kyle, this show is all about life strategies.
Okay. Lots of strategies in that.
If you had to give, one little life strategies for the kids out there, what would it be?
Okay. Life strategy.
I'll give you, do you want more? Would it be helpful to have three, or do you want a one and go?
I think I got two good ones that all come right. to my head right away.
Okay.
So I think one thing I'm really passionate about is like, and I feel like I made that clear with you as well, is just about like pursuing your dreams. Mm-hmm. One thing, like one of my dreams in high school was to become a pilot, and like now here I'm getting to fly planes every day.
Yeah.
And there were times where I thought it wasn't going to happen, times like where it shouldn't have happened, and now here I am, like very close to it becoming a very true reality.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty passionate about that, and I feel like I've made that clear with you. Like, mm-hmm. You've told me what you want to do in life, and I've encouraged you, I feel like, to chase it. So I think that's a big one in life, is just going after what you want, going after what's going to make you happy, and, like, not letting anything stand in the way. Like, and it's a pretty cliche thing. A lot of people push that, but I think it's very valid, because we do get comfortable. We do get mm-hmm. into the rhythm of things, and there are risks you're going to have to take to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a good one. Good strategy for life.
A little life strategy for you there.
Yeah, some X's and O's right there. Run the pick and roll.
You know what? I'm going to piggyback on that. That's not my life strategy. My life strategy. I'm just piggybacking on it. The older you get, the more, like, you having that dream in high school, I'm sure everybody was like, oh, yeah, be a pilot, Kyle. Like,
yeah.
That's tight. Like, do it. You grow into adulthood, and it's like, people no longer, like, I mean, I won't say nobody, but, like, my support group, for sure, like, my friends and, you know, people that know me are going to support my stuff, but, mm-hmm. like, the older you get, the more jaded people get, and they're kind of like,
yeah, definitely,
when are you just going to settle? And
yeah, like, Nick, you got this great job as an engineer, yeah, you're making good money, yeah. You're comfortable, you're saving all this money, just keep doing that. You're not happy, but just keep doing it. Like, yeah. People would die for the position you're in, you know? Yeah. And you have to be at the point where I'm like, okay, like, going off that, like, I was in a similar situation. I was an engineer making good money.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, okay, I can still be a pilot.
Yeah.
And I left that job and pursued being a pilot.
Yeah.
Make less money, but I can guarantee you every day I go into work, yeah, it's stressful, but, like,
it's what you wanted.
It's, yeah, I have so much fun. At the end of the day, I look back and think, man, that was so cool. Like, I'm so blessed. That did not feel like a day of work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like you need to get to that position, whether people, you know, just breaking your comfortability. And that kind of goes into my next point, too. I was going to say, like, do things that are challenging. Do things out of your comfort zone. Do things that you never thought you could do. Like, for me, I don't know, for you, living in a car was maybe more realistic. Maybe you thought about it more. I don't know. I feel like that's more your personality. You just kind of send it. You have an idea and you go for it, which I freaking love.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, I don't know. I try to play things more comfortably.
Yeah.
Play things safer, I guess. I don't know.
Cautious?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Just, yeah, we'll go with that. And yeah,
I know what you're saying.
And for me, like, that was just, like, crazy. Like, I'm a pretty adventurous person, but that was just, like, a new level, you know?
Yeah, it's so, definitely, yeah, definitely wasn't safe.
Yeah, I would say challenge yourself, do things like you never thought you'd do. Mm-hmm. Just send it.
Full send, baby.
Full send.
Full send.
Make the most out of your life. You only have one to live, so. And it's never too late, like.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It really isn't. Like, I don't know, if you want something, you can go after it. Make it happen.
Yeah. I say that's, my life strategy is going to be pretty similar.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I really do. I feel like I kind of talk about this quite a bit. It's like, I really do, like, have, not hyper awareness, but, like, a really high consciousness of, there's an end to all of this, and every day that goes by is, like, you're either getting closer or further from what you wanted to do this whole time. And I'm starting to realize, like, those dreams that you have are purposeful, because it's almost like, in the sense that that's, you know, God wanted you to do that. It's not like a selfish dream or any of those things. Like, it's not out of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's probably what you're meant to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And the road's tough, but it's worth it for yourself, and it's worth it for everybody else if you're doing what you're meant to do.
Oh yeah, definitely. You're gonna fulfill that purpose a lot more and put a lot more effort into that thing, and the world's gonna be better for it.
Amen, brother. All right, well, bye. No, I'll hit it with an outro. The outro is, you can leave a 5-star review if you think this is a 5. Actually, no, please leave a 5-star review. Don't leave anything less than that.
We don't care what you think.
I don't care what you think, as long as it's 5 stars. If you do that, you might be the reviewer of the week next week on the next podcast. That's pretty cool, right?
Who's the reviewer of the week this time?
Do you want me to... I was going to do one, but I didn't think they... The reviewer of the week, here, I got one pulled up.
All right.
It's Stacy Cabler, and she says, gives a 5-star review and says, wow, really love the energy on this podcast. The host and the guest vibe the whole time. Can't wait for the next one.
Lots of vibing.
That's from Stacy.
Do you know her?
No. I don't know her. But Stacy, thank you for listening. I appreciate you, Stacey. I appreciate you so much.
what's her at, in case people want to, like, follow Stacy?
That's at the real Stacy Cabler. Stacy the Cabler girl.
Oh man, we just made you famous, Stacy. You're welcome.
You know what? Everybody go follow Stacy Cabler. She could use a couple follows. She's a real big supporter.
This could be you next week. This could be you next week if you leave a 5-star review.
That's right. Kyle, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so you can go on Google, type in Kyle Rodriguez. A lot of weird stuff will pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of me.
Blacking out.
Yeah, there is a video of that. No, but like we talked about at the beginning, you can find me on, I think, all social media platforms at Kyle Fiverod, not Facebook. Yeah. That's not my real name. Not my legal name.
That's what they say on the documents now. Please sign your Facebook name. It's a legal name. Guys are kidding.
Yep, so Kyle Fiverod, number 5.
Yeah.
Kyle Rod, the alphabet. Let's see, what else do I have?
Dude, you got a YouTube channel, bro. It's pretty inactive.
I do not have a YouTube channel.
Well, you, I have one video. Sincerely awesome. Oh, and yours.
No, I made it personal. And oh, I made a vlog with you.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny, but...
When are you going to bring that back, bro?
Too much editing, man.
Yeah, it's a lot. Dude, there's vlogs out there that are real boring. I'm sure you could just not edit it.
Stay tuned, though. After pilot training, I want to come out with something.
Yeah.
Talking about, I don't know, flying, careers, things like that. Cool. So
a pod?
Pod, maybe.
We could do a pod swap.
Pod swap? Where you come host on my mine pot? And I oh. host yours. Well, with the random guests? That'd be funny.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, so find me online. Add me on whatever. My address is... I'm Omegle. Just kidding.
Add me on Omegle, bro.
Omegle.
You're a big Omegle fan.
Dude, me and Jake would get have some good times on Omegle. Yeah, not quite.
What would you do?
Talk to random people. Like
you really would?
Yeah. Me and Jake would do stupid stuff, tell bad jokes, I don't know.
That's cool. You ever
one time we were dressed up in a cow costume and just hilarious. Danced.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You ever see something you didn't want to see?
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice.
James, I think James is... All right, this is getting out of hand. We made some fudge. Last thing we're going to say, we made some bomb fudge. None of you can have it, but we're going to eat
it. We're going to go eat all of it.
And that's...
Be disgusted with ourselves.
That's my goal every time I eat anything.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. We love you.
We love you.
Like, subscribe.
Comment. Share. Oh, share this, please. Yeah.
Share it with your family, your friends.
Share
it. And buy merch.
Buy merch, baby. Oh.
Bye. Burp Bros out.
Bye.